Hi. Welcome to the first Bangladeshi podcast where we have renowned guests from all over the world. I'll talk about business, politics, tech, and everything else that's trending worldwide. I'm your host Rafi, and let's get this show started. In this episode, we have with us Rachel Cross from San Diego, USA. She's a globally accomplished marketer who worked with Fortune 500 companies, a business coach, writer, and a whole lot more. Thank you for being with us, Rachel. Before we dive into details, can you please tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor to speak to such a unique audience. I think this is the first, definitely the first Bangladeshi podcast I've been on. So thank you so much. A little bit about me. I was actually born in Hyderabad, India, and my family emigrated to Canada when I was 5 years old. And then we moved to California when I was 7. So really grew up mainly in Southern California and typical immigrant family. As far as, you know, we were taught to work hard and education was a priority. And I joke that because I was Indian, I was told that I wanted to be a doctor. And it wasn't until university that I realized that actually wasn't the career path I wanted. And so in school, I ended up studying psychology and specifically social psychology, the study of group behavior, which led me into my marketing career, which I've now had for over 20 years.
Right. So this is the first Bangladeshi podcast you've been in because this is one of the first Bangladeshi podcasts we ever produced. But yeah, moving on. Let's start with a basic question, which is you work in Rachel K Group, right? And that works with small businesses, nonprofit, and startups with marketing and whatnot. So what are your aims and visions with this company?
So I started Rachel K Group after working in corporate America for 12 years. And the main goal was that I wanted to work on projects that I really cared about for companies that I felt were doing something good in the world. And that's why I have a focus on nonprofits and small businesses and startups who can't afford a full-time chief marketing officer, you know, for various reasons, because of the size of their company or where they are in the stage of their business. And so I really enjoy going in and helping companies figure out a brand strategy and marketing communication strategy so that they are able to tell their stories well and spread awareness about the good work they're doing to help people in the world. So that's the focus of Rachel K Group. And that I started Rachel K Group in 2011. So it's been almost 10 years and it's really been an incredible journey to help these companies, but also learn myself what entrepreneurship looks like and learn. There's a lot of learning along the way.
That's amazing. So you call yourself the chief business Sherpa of Rachel K Group. So I wasn't aware of this term. And for those of us who are not aware of this term, what is a Sherpa and why do you like to use that title?
Yeah, I love that question. So Sherpas are typically the guides that have helped almost every successful expedition up, for example, Mount Everest, K2, all of the tallest peaks in the world. And typically they're Nepalese, but, you know, depending on what area of the world you're in, they can be from other parts. And they not only help carry the equipment and the packs of the climbers that they're helping climb up or reach the peak, but they're also guiding them. And I love that visual and that analogy of someone that's not only helping kind of clear the path and guiding someone where they want to go, which is the highest peaks in the world, but also to help carry their packs. And so I love the term Sherpa. I love the work ethic. They're also known to be really, hard workers and kind people. And so there's a lot about Sherpas that I admire and wanted to embody in my business.
That's a very interesting title. And that's certainly a conversation starter, I'm sure, amongst your clients and everyone.
Yeah, a lot, you're not alone. And a lot of people ask me, what's a Sherpa and what does that mean? So it is a good conversation starter. I didn't want the title to be, you know, president or CEO or something typical. I wanted it to stand out a little bit. I figure if I'm in marketing, it should be creative, right?
And it definitely is creative. So you have over 20 years of experience in advertising, like you said, and I know that you've worked with multiple Fortune 500 companies. So what are some of the proudest work you've done in this timeline?
Oh, that's a great question. I think, well, one of them is actually more recently with, it's an organization called San Diego Half Marathon, and they are a nonprofit here in San Diego, and they give back 100% of their net proceeds to the community. So over the last 9 years, and I helped them launch the race, I helped them build the brand, the website, all of their marketing communication channels, such as social media and their website and their email. But they have given back over $300,000 to the local community, helping build parks and, you know, restore 911 centers, and actually even helping with Christmas donations to those who are less fortunate. And it's really work that I'm proud of. I think in my corporate career, there's a lot of fun things that I got to do. For example, helping launch a mobile TV service. This was before iPhone. So think before we had such accessibility to streaming video on our phones. And it was a mobile TV service that came to your phone. And at the time, it was quite a new thing. And it was kind of the hot technology in the States. And we got to broadcast the Olympics on the channel. And that was very exciting, getting to work with some of the Olympic committee and broadcast, you know, international games right to your phone. And again, at the time, this is, I'm talking about like 2007 to 2011, that time frame. It was really an exciting time to be in tech and wireless tech specifically.
Right. So the broadcasting thing, that was your work when you were in Qualcomm, to be specific, in Flow TV, right? If I'm not wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a division of Qualcomm, which, you know, is a global leader in mainly chipsets, but also in lots of services now in across different industries. And the division I worked for was called Media Flow, and eventually we rebranded to Flow TV, and that was to really talk about our specific mobile TV service.
Right. So how was the experience working in a huge company, one of their subsidiaries such as Flow Inc.? It's from Qualcomm. So how was the experience working over there?
You know, I loved working for large corporations like Qualcomm because they have a ton of resources. So, you know, I played a very specific role, and I was part of a marketing department that had a lot of support, whether we had, you know, in-house web designers and programmers, we had graphic designers, we had a copywriter. So we almost had our own internal agency, marketing agency within our department in marketing alone. And there's a lot of collaboration. And of course, we also had a lot of resources as far as budgets to market the service. So that there were a lot of benefits just from, you know, a job perspective of being able to, again, have these resources. And then on the other hand, just from a personal employee standpoint, it was also a great opportunity to work for a company where, you know, we were getting paid well. We had really good benefits as far as healthcare and, you know, like retirement plans and those kinds of things. And so there was a lot of benefits. I really enjoyed my time in corporate America working for big companies like Kyocera Wireless and Qualcomm. And it was a great education too. I had some really amazing managers who served as mentors to me. And I'm really grateful for that time looking back.
Right. So you've worked with multiple of these big corporations. So when you started your own company, how has your years of experience in this big corporation skills translated when you started your own company?
So I also worked at a agency that did video and live event production, and I was a producer. And so the time at the agency helped me really develop some customer service skills. And then when I went to, you know, corporate life, I was managing agencies. And so my experience being both on the agency side and the client side, I think has really helped me now that I have my own agency, because I'm able to see, you know, both sides of the coin, so to speak. So I think besides just developing the skills that I was able to develop during those years in corporate America and having the experiences I did just across a wide range of marketing services, which was a great education, I also had the privilege of making a lot of connections. And so that has served me really well, because in my business, most, if not all of my business actually, has been through word of mouth referral. And I've never really had to advertise myself, because I have, you know, these people that I've worked with for years that are now able to, remember now, I reach out to them and say, hey, here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm working on. And I've had a lot of business come through those former colleagues that I used to work with.
That's amazing. So I've read some of your content and everything. So I know that you think of marketing as the perfect marriage between science and art, as you say. So that's an interesting perspective. Can you please elaborate on that?
Sure. So from a young age, I've always been both left and right brained. I've always been good at math and writing, which typically people seem to gravitate towards one or the other, right? And so I've always known that both sides of my brain were always being activated in different ways, whether it was through music or sports, through, you know, studies. And so I love marketing because really it's both very data driven. There's a lot of data behind it and strategy, which is left brain, but there's also the creative side, the design side, the innovation side, which is the right brain. And so I love that marketing, I get to use both sides of my brain. And not that there's anything wrong with, you know, being focused on one or the other. It's just because how I personally am wired that I feel like marketing is a really good fit for me.
Amazing. Me personally, I'm more on the writing side than on the math side. So I envy you on that you have both of your brain parts lit up.
Well, you know, you can think of it too, like maybe you're really much better at the writing side and I'm like only maybe 80% at both, you know? I don't know. I'm just making that up.
Probably. Moving on to the nonprofit side of things for a bit, you're involved in the David's Harp Foundation Incorporated. So, can you tell us about the work you do there and any other nonprofit work you do?
Sure. So, David's Harp, actually, I volunteer with them. They're an incredible organization here in San Diego, and they help mentor at-risk youth through helping them develop skills such as music production and photography and video production, and actually help them encourage them not only to go to university, even if it's for their associate's degree, but also help them launch businesses if they want to. So I serve as a business mentor to two of the young girls in the program. They're both 18, and I actually just met with them yesterday, and they're very motivated, determined girls, but, you know, came from backgrounds that maybe they didn't have all the opportunities that people of with higher, you know, in higher income classes had. And so it's really been a joy to be able to work with them and teach them some really basic skills about business, whether it's, you know, email etiquette, but also I'm helping them build future businesses. Both of them are interested in launching their own businesses. And so that's another part of Rachel K Group that we haven't talked about, but I love helping people who have a vision for a business that they want to start, launch their own business. And so I also provide career strategy and business coaching programs for that.
That's a very noble thing to do. So let's talk about DACA for a bit. So Dhaka is one of the fastest growing cities in the world right now, and businesses are opening up left and right every day. So as you brought up business coaching, so what are your thoughts on the importance of business coaching and marketing consultants over here? Because we don't really have much of, we don't even have any business coaching as far as I'm aware, because people just tend to move on with their company as they think is fit. And as for marketing consultants, it's starting up, but it's very rare. Usually companies just have people in-house who just suggest things and they just move on from there. So I wanted to ask you about the importance of these things in Dhaka.
Yeah, I think for Dhaka, it's really interesting in the growth stage that you're in, because there's a new generation, I think I would include you in this, right, of people coming up who are recognizing they don't have to do what their family expected of them. Now, I know that's going to differ from family to family, but this, I think, new generation of, you know, South Asians in general, of recognizing, hey, I actually have some choice and some say and a little bit of independence in the life that I want to lead. And so what I would say is really the thing that I love is helping people figure out, again, the way they're wired. Like, what are you uniquely wired? I was saying, right, I'm very left and right brained. And so marketing serves me. But for you, like if you are really skilled at writing, like you said, you know, what are some of the things that A, you're really good at, that you and B, enjoy doing, and C, what's the kind of impact you want to have on the world? And then finally, what is the lifestyle you want to lead? And then really looking at all of those factors and saying, what kind of career then fits with those things, rather than, oh, I went to school and I went to university and this was the thing that I studied and I'm just going to do it because I know it's stable and it will make me, you know, some kind of income that I can now, you know, support a family. Which I think, by the way, I think that's a global thing, that across the world, a lot of people just stumble into their careers versus being very, very thoughtful and intentional about discovering who they are. And I don't think that's the fault of any one of us. I think it's honestly a lack in our education system, where we don't encourage this more introspective self-reflection of who we are, how we're created, the things that bring us joy, our values, and the kind of lives that we really envision leading to shape the careers, versus the other way around, right? We get these jobs and then we just say, okay, well, I have to live this kind of life because this is the job I have. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for the and honestly, not just the young generations. I don't think it's age specific. I think at any age you can reinvent yourself. And so for people in Dhaka to recognize, oh, okay, there's some growing industry, there's some growing commerce. Where are the gaps that I see I could use my skills and passions to help fill and help serve people? And I think that would be an interesting question for people to start asking themselves there.
Understood. So I had a business coach on earlier as a guest. It's still not aired, though it will be soon. So I asked her a question that I'd like to ask you as well. And that is, when new companies are formed and startups, the money is tight. I'm sure you are aware, when you start your own company, you really have to look at where you spend, and it's always paycheck to paycheck with a new business before they, you know, really start getting rolling. So at that stage of the company, do you think it's wise for the companies to spend money on business coaches such as yourself?
So I like working with clients who have the motivation and resourcefulness to work with me, right? And so the reality is, yes, I think it's wise to work with a business coach, again, depending on the coach, what they're offering, what their service is. But for someone like me, for example, who at the end of working together of 3 months, you're going to be able to very confidently launch your business, knowing it's set up exactly right. And so the amount of time and money and effort that you will save is going to really come back to of whatever fees you pay your business coach, ideally, right? You should be measuring this, that you make up whatever you paid them within the first 6 months, 1 year of your new business. And if you don't, then that's something you're going to want to look at. But a good business coach, I believe, will be able to help you recover whatever fees that you pay them within, like I said, you know, depending on the person, depending on the business, but within 6 months to a year. And so it's an investment in your future success and really, you know, changing your mindset around, you know, oh, this is an expense versus this is an investment.
That's a very nice answer. The business coach I had on earlier answered something very similar to this. So I guess you're all very aligned to your work and you know what to say at the right time.
Well, I think too, you know, it's if I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't believe in the value of what I was providing. And so,
of course,
if I believe in it, then I want my clients to believe in it. And if I've had many people say like, hey, this just isn't the time because of X, Y, and Z. And that's okay too. Like, I want to work with people who also believe in themselves, and I'm going to help them in build that belief in themselves. But I think that's part of it too, is knowing you're going to be successful. And so if you're going to be successful, then this is just one of the things that you're going to invest in. I think the other thing is, the reason I believe that is because when I read books and biographies and autobiographies of the most successful people in the world, not one of them got to where they are without help from someone. And so I look at that and think, gosh, you know, we, especially in the West, I think it's not as much in the East, but have a very individualistic society where we think, oh, we have to do everything by ourselves and we have to be successful by ourselves. And that's just not the reality of how successful people have gotten to where they are. Most people have had someone help them, and actually several people help them along their journey.
That's very well put. So we were talking off air earlier about books, and you said you are an avid reader. So can you recommend some good books to everyone regarding marketing or whatever you read?
Sure. So some of my favorite books, one of them is Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K. He has a book called Start With Why. And I highly recommend that for really anyone, but especially if you're thinking about starting a business. It's really interesting. He's a brilliant, both just business person and in marketing as well. I also love a book called Quitter by John Acuff, and it tells his own story of, you know, the things that you should be looking out for before you quit a full-time job and launch a business. So those are two that I highly recommend for business. And then, of course, I read both business and personal development and all kinds of books.
That's very nice. I've actually read Start With Why, and it's a highly recommended book from me as well. So that's a very good one. So we're nearing to the end of the show now, and I'm going to ask you a question that I ask every guest that's on these days. And that is, how has the quarantine period affected your workflow regarding, you know, you can't go to the office right now and you have to move your whole operations online and things like that?
So for me, because I've worked from home for the last almost 10 years, it didn't affect my, you know, office life that much. I already have a home office, and so I'm very, very grateful and lucky that way. The thing I did notice was, you know, I was used to going once in a while, at least, you know, two or three times a week to client offices for meetings, or, you know, at least getting up and going to lunch with friends. And so I bought a stand-up desk converter because I realized I was sitting more than I was used to. And early on, I felt like it was affecting my back and my hips and things like that. And so now I work standing up all day, and I've actually really enjoyed it. That's been the biggest shift, just from a, you know, physical location standpoint. And then really, I think, you know, more than ever, I've been using Zoom since 2013 because I've had clients in Hong Kong and Berlin and Buenos Aires. And so I've been used to Zoom, but, you know, of course, now everybody is on Zoom. And I realized something about myself, which was because I'm an extreme extrovert and I get energy around being with people face to face, the Zoom meetings can be very draining for me. And so I've learned to limit my Zoom meetings to maybe two or three a day. Whereas in the beginning of COVID, I, you know, was on, you know, maybe four or five and then felt exhausted at the end. So thanks for asking that. It's been an interesting adjustment, but I think my adjustment has been much easier than, you know, people that went from working in an office to working from home.
I definitely agree with the Zoom point. Zoom meetings are a big drain for me as well, being an extrovert and all.
Yeah.
Right. So before we finish this show, can you please tell everyone where to find you in social media and anything else you might want to add?
Sure. Thank you. So if people are interested in learning more, they can go to my website, rachelkgroup.com. On LinkedIn, I'm at Rachel K. Cross. And on Facebook, Rachel K. Group. And I love connecting with people and hearing people's stories, especially if they're on the journey of entrepreneurship.
Thank you very much, Rachel. It's been a pleasure having you. I'll, of course, keep in touch with you. I'm really excited to see all the new things you come up with.
Thanks, Rafi. You too. And I'm excited as you pioneer, you know, this podcast life in Bangladesh and seeing how really you inspire others to do the same. It's very, very cool.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you everyone for listening to this episode. If you're interested in being a guest, go to my website and you'll find the process there. If you want me to discuss a certain topic, there's a suggestion form on the website as well. Hope you all like this episode. Peace.